Hello and welcome to the Success Secret Podcast with your host Hussein Talib. I am excited to introduce you to a series of conversations with some of the most successful and inspiring individuals from various industries. My aim is to dive into the stories behind their success and explore the knowledge, strategies, habits, mindsets, and wisdom that have propelled their success. Each episode of the Success Secret Podcast will feature a different guest who will share their unique journey, the challenges they faced, and the lessons they have learned along the way. I will also be covering topics from entrepreneurship and innovation to leadership and personal development. Whether you are an inspiring entrepreneur, a seasoned business professional, or just someone looking to improve your life, the Success Secret Podcast is for you. My goal is to bring you valuable insights and inspiration that will help you achieve your own success in business and life. So get ready to learn and be inspired. The Success Secret Podcast starts now. In this episode, I have with me Mark Motherlin. I am going to be talking with Mark about transitioning from a one-man band to a team and how he used and leveraged his media company in video content and marketing as a marketing side way to promote business. So as a driving force behind Mosaic Media Films, Mark brings more than expertise in video production. He brings a strategic marketing mindset. What sets his company apart in the unwavering focus on the marketing side of video content. Mark collaborates closely with clients, driving into the sales and marketing strategies of their business and funnels. This deep understanding allows him to create videos strategically tailored to drive traffic and boost sales. Mark, welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you here with me on this episode. So first of all, because this is the Success Secret Podcast, I usually ask my guest this one question, which is, what does success mean to you, and how do you see or agree or disagree other people define success as?
Yeah, I think in today's society, I think a lot of people define success about how much stuff you have. And I think success, just like happiness, needs to be defined by the individual itself and how they see and perceive that. For me personally, I define success by creating an equilibrium between the work and the passion that I do for the content, the people that I impact, and the lives that I've been able to benefit, and then having, fulfillment in my own personal and professional life. So I can say that I feel like I'm very abundantly successful based on where I was from to where I'm at now professionally, and definitely the time and autonomy that I have to, spend time with family, friends, and do the activities that I really enjoy on a day-to-day basis.
Awesome. So yeah. You apparently enjoy video content because you are into that. And you love to, or you build your business from a solopreneur, as they would say, right, to a team, which is very important because we are, as solopreneurs in general, or entrepreneurs when they start by themselves, it is hard to scale to certain point. You can scale as much as you can only work in a day, I guess. So first of all, what was the idea or where the idea came from starting your business, which is Mosaic Media Films? And how did you that start?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started, actually well over a decade ago, and I used to work for a company right out of college, and they had a relatively small marketing team, but they were mostly a manufacturing company in the sporting goods industry. And when I was doing that, I learned everything to do with marketing because we're a relatively small team. So I did website, I did graphic design, I did packaging that you'd probably still see in Dick's Sporting Goods today, photography, video, everything that you could imagine. And out of all those things that I learned, I really felt like the market was moving towards video. And this was 10 years ago. So really from a business perspective, the only companies that were doing video were companies that bought a large $30,000 to $50,000 ad spend from the television station. And then they'd say, oh, we'll create a video for your website as well as your 30-second spot. And as you can imagine, because it's made by a broadcast company, they're kind of panning and zooming, and it just had a broadcast feel, not really a cinematic approach. So right around the time when I really wanted to go off on my own and start a business as a solo videographer, was right around the time when DSLR cameras were coming to the market. So it really was this great kind of emergence for me. And I never looked back from that point. It completely transformed the way I filmed. And I started to create really what I called at the time, I called like a business promo video. And basically I was combining my knowledge of marketing and advertising and really connecting with people and storytelling through all of my experience with marketing in the corporate world, and then taking the art and craft of video and trying to take more of a cinematic approach to it. And, you know, 10 years ago, this was not what people were doing. So it was really new to businesses and brands that time ago. So I started doing that as a freelancer, and I moved to Austin with, you know, no leads, no friends, no connections, barely, I think I barely had a website. And I was able to start creating some work, and for, you know, 3+ years was a freelancer. And through that process, I actually transitioned into becoming a trainer. So I owned a digital training company and trained aspiring filmmakers on how to create this type of video and how to run a business from the sales and marketing side, because I had that background in it. And after I kind of got burned out from that, because my business partner, he wanted to pursue other things. And after he left, it kind of lost the momentum with the company. And I went back to my roots and started filming again. And through that process, I had the opportunity to go to Costa Rica, went on Richard Branson's, you know, private island in Necker. I've been to Africa. I was in a month in Asia doing a documentary and created videos all over the place in Austin and beyond. And then I got to the point where I've always been entrepreneurial in nature. And as much as I love the art and craft of filming and telling stories, I really wanted to kind of take a step back from that and build a team of creative people. So one by one, I kind of etched myself out of the business. So, you know, my first thing was hiring an editor, then it was a filmmaker, then it was a producer, then it was another filmmaker, then it was a second editor, then it was an animator, and so on and so forth. And now my primary role, you know, in the company is sales and marketing. So I predominantly focus on the sales and marketing side. And then my team, you know, creatively develops the content using the style and approach that I've developed over and refined over the years, with the type of framework that I have, and really similar style and approach. So it's been, you know, an amazing ride. It hasn't been all smooth and perfect, but it's been exciting nonetheless. And, you know, to go back to your beginning question, you know, you feel successful. I feel successful because, you know, I'm doing something that I love and I enjoy day to day. And I'm making an impact in the world in relation to not only the clients that we work with, but I always tell my staff, you know, you really have to fall in love with our clients' clients, because that's ultimately who's going to see the video, take the action, and then ultimately they're going to ideally change their life with a product or service that our client is, you know, selling or, you know, helping them with.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. Your clients' clients. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's very impressive. And it is true. Like you talked about video, for example, 10, 12 years ago. So that time video was like, for example, YouTube was there, for example, if we are going to talk about that. But it's still kind of relatively new. Like we're talking about from 2005 to 2010, for example, or 2011. These times were kind of new and the transition was big. Like remember the days when we used to download an image, just an image, 1 megabit. So it was very slow. So now you can watch a 4K or an 8K movie with no interruptions as far as internet speeds. That's very important and impressive. So video has a big impact on people, specifically if we're talking about, like you mentioned also, people watch movies, so that's video, whether it's with audio or not audio. So it's a video basically. So it has a big impact on people. And what you mentioned there also, that how you let's say give your people the way of how you do things personally, which is, I assume, like each entrepreneur Sometimes when we give someone something to do and we don't like it, so we don't give them that thing anymore. So we want kind of something of consistency in there. And what you mentioned eventually, that this you want your clients to be satisfied, which is the people who are watching basically the video. That's very important. So in general now, in video, what is the best framework, let's say, or the best characteristics of a video that will attract or have these clients actually watch, let's say, from beginning to end, or 50% or whatever it is?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest mistake that a lot of creative agencies or video companies will do, or at least the way sometimes they'll pitch or they'll kind of approach a project is, yes, we have cameras, we have gimbals, drones, and all the toys, and we'll get this done for you. Rather than thinking of what is the problem that the product or the service is going to solve, and looking at it from that frame of mind. Also, what I see a lot of businesses make the mistake of is they keep thinking that, like, this story, we need a story about us. The story is less about you and more about the customer's journey and how you're going to come alongside them and help them with that. So the way that we structure and frame a lot of our videos is typically we create like a 2 to 3 minute brand story or business promo video. That's our flagship thing, the thing that we do the most of. So it's a little bit longer form, you know, compared to today's, you know, attention span. It's a little bit longer form with being two to three minutes. So the first thing we do is we start off with essentially a hook, something that's very compelling, whether it's a shot, a quote, or something that will later be revealed later on in the video. That hook has got to grab their attention right away. Then we kind of transition into what is the problem or the pain that the customer has. So really trying to understand their ideal client and, like, what are they struggling through? So a lot of times my staff and I will go through this practice of, like, trying to visualize living the day in the life of that person. What would it feel like? What are the thoughts that go through their head? What are the things that they're struggling with? What has brought them to this point right now where they're on their customer's website, where they're watching this video, right? And really understanding that. And then visually and narratively explain that to them, that our client understands that pain. Then transition to what is the solution that they're going to provide to alleviate that pain? And ultimately, what does life look like when they're working with their customer, when they're working with their customer, whether it's a product or a service and stuff like that, and really trying to visually illustrate what that's going to look like, and then tie in all the other elements with video that really help amplify that. So visually showing it, you know, creating mood and emotion with music, the type of visuals that we have, the type of narration and the questions that we're asking and the way that people are articulating it, and even reinforcing that information with some type of graphics or animation. It can be anything as far as this is what your life is going to look like. This is how it works. We follow a structure, but then there's deviations of that structure based on the client and the overall goals of the project. One of the things too, in that structure that we typically do is we'll have testimonials in there. So the majority of the time, the narration's from the client, and then you'd have a testimonial. And what we do uniquely different is we always try to frame the testimonial in an objection turned success. So what that means is we're always trying to anticipate what the person watching the video is thinking, right? So we're so trained right now to just have, like, really high BS meters. Like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. But who do we go to when we have some reluctancy? We go to our friends, we go to family, people we know, like, and trust. You know, it's always good for a customer to talk about their business, but it's better for their customers to talk about their business. So if they're watching this video, the idea is that if there is an objection that customer that we're interviewing had, we want to frame it and then kind of show that kind of micro story on how they were able to overcome that. So it's kind of like, at first I thought it was, you know, way too more than I could spend. I didn't have the money on it, but I took the leap because of XYZ. And now I've been able to 5X my revenue and we've never looked back, right? So it's taking that objection that the person watching the video is feeling and framing it in the form of someone that's gone through the experience that they hope to, because we're all telling each other stories in our mind of what we want our life to be. And we need a little bit of validation. We need a little bit of reassurance that it's going to be okay to mitigate, you know, the potential risks involved with buying an expensive product or, you know, investing in a service where you don't know what the outcome is going to be like. So that's kind of the long form of how we structure our videos.
So that's very important that you mentioned there. You talked about the story. And when you talked about the story, it's not about the story of the business or the story of the brand or the story of the personal brand of the individual who's working. You need to look at the story of the client's clients, which is basically someone who's looking at what you are creating, which is very important. You need to look at that kind of perspective and the eye from it, which is very important. So how, for example, one of the ways that you are basically trying to get some kind of, let's say, maybe feedback or the ideas of them, or what kind of questions that you might ask them to get what you want?
Yeah. So like when we have our initial planning meeting with our clients, we're trying to understand first and foremost, who is their ideal client? What does it look like? Now, some clients go through like an extensive branding process where they have a specific avatar and they know that like our client is Jamie, and Jamie is 35 years old, female. She has one kid, you know, she works and makes X amount of money. So like the more we understand about the client and the pain and the situation that they're going through, the better the storytelling can be. Because it's not only showcasing what the business does that's unique, but it's showcasing that what makes it unique for their ideal client and how it speaks to them more appropriately. I think a big problem that people kind of get in an issue with is views, where it's just like you think maximum number of views for like funny cat videos, that's fine and dandy. But when it comes to the actual business video content that's tailored to the right audience, it's less about views and it's more about impact. It's more about conversion. You know, I would much rather 100 views for my target audience to watch something that connects with them on a deeper level and resonates with them rather than 10,000 views from just random people that are never going to be customers or clients. So that's something that we kind of go over with when we're trying to understand their client and tell a compelling story.
There's a big difference between a specific video that it should be aligned with specific type of people that are your, let's say, your niche, which is something that a lot of people talk about, and general video that is just for entertainment. But generally, I think the video, any type of video, if we can combine, for example, a story, a type of funny element or a funny story or type of entertainment in the video, that would be, and also learning, some people can learn from this video, it would be something that's amazing. If you can combine learning with entertainment in a video, that I would say maybe a great combination, right? So have you produced or seen or worked on these type of things, and how hard is it to do that, or do you think from your experience it is easy?
Yeah, great question. I don't think it's easy. On the contrast, I think it's incredibly difficult to thread that needle. And the reason being is, you know, this type of video is usually called edutainment type of videos, where they're educating people, but they're doing it in a very funny, quirky, educational way. Now, we have worked on this. We've also worked on more of the traditional style business video, like I've talked about thus far. We've done it. There's also other really good companies that have really broken into the space, and like the Harman Brothers. If you've ever seen Squatty Potty or Poopery, they are probably one of the most well-known agencies in that particular space of edutainment. What makes those videos typically difficult is you need really, really good script writing and you need really, really, really good talent. I think the biggest mistake that sometimes customers will make is they'll say, oh, this video went viral and they were able to make this, you know, and they got $3 million, but they're not looking at the whole picture. The picture is everything has to work in unison for that, for those type of results. You need to have a good script. You need to have, most importantly, an actor or someone that has really good comedic timing and delivery. And then usually they're very high expensive productions, but that's only one piece of the element. The second piece about it is the amount of marketing and eyeballs that you need on something like that. So those type of videos usually tend to be really good for consumer product goods because you can get a massive amount of eyeballs because you have a huge audience, but it still takes a lot of revenue dollars and a lot of testing. Now, one of the most successful campaigns using this edutainment style is the Harman Brothers. And I think just the production costs alone were around $250,000. And then the advertising revenue was probably, you know, larger magnitudes of that. Now, you know, it pales in comparison to the amount of extensive growth that they've made as a company. However, they had everything working perfectly, and they also did a lot of testing. So, you know, when you're running that type of campaign, it's testing different hooks, different intros, different, you know, content, different lengths, and really trying to figure out what's connecting with the audience. I actually read a story about that particular project, and they said that they had, I think, you know, several, maybe five or six different intros. And one intro was doing really, really well, and they were going to put more ad dollars in it. But a news company picked it up, and it wasn't the intro that was performing the best on YouTube. It was a different one. So they rolled with that one moving forward. So in order to make an edutainment video work, you really need a lot of those elements to work, is good scripting, great comedic delivery, high quality production, you know, in most cases, and then really backing it up with great, you know, eyeballs and marketing strategy behind it.
Definitely. You mentioned scripting or scripts, which is basically, I assume, it's copywriting. So that's a very important part of the element. Like, so, and you mentioned the length of the videos, and it is important to test. So these kind of things also very important. But in regards, for example, the script, so the scripts themselves, are they completely all the way used as per word per word, or are there, I'm not sure, maybe there is some kind of a spontaneous kind of things that might happen during shooting or making the video that would actually maybe work for it?
Yeah, so there's typically two types of scripts that we work with. I mean, you're probably talking about a third one, so I'll explain all three. So one type of scripting is where you're doing a documentary style interview, and this probably accounts for about 75% of the stuff that we do. So let's say we're interviewing a CEO, a CMO, and then a customer testimonial in this, you know, let's say 2-minute video. We'll have foundational questions that follow our structure. And we'll start asking them and just interviewing them just like you would a documentary. Now, those questions are really just foundational where we're trying to get the ball rolling. But a lot of the story comes out as we kind of, you know, I say, pull the thread a little bit more, like, tell me a little bit more about that. Or, you know, you said this, tell me more about this, you know, kind of how you see this, you know, podcast transpiring, right? Very similar nature. The next question builds off the previous one. So that's one style, and there's less scripting per se. It's more structurally trying to format the questions because we need to have, you know, concise answers in a structured way that's authentic and genuine. And that's why documentary style works really well in most business videos. The second style is a full script. And this is where we've methodically written out that structure that I talked about earlier. And it's then recorded by a professional voiceover. So this is really good for businesses where they don't want to interview staff. Maybe they have, you know, more turnover. They want it to last a little bit longer. They want a higher perceived brand value, or it just fits the messaging and the overall product or service that they're talking about. And we've done that where we work in conjunction with the client very closely on creating, drafting, refining, and finalizing a script, and then picking a voiceover talent that best represents the brand, from male, female, to tonality. The third option, where there is a little bit more impromptu-ness, is that edutainment style. And when we've worked on productions with this, we've had scripted lines, but then we let the actor kind of, you know, ad lib a little bit and, you know, have their ability to share a little bit more about that. So for instance, we're working on a project right now for a client, and they're called Duty Calls, and we are filming them, I think next week. or the week after. And basically what they do is they have this, you know, really creative service where everyone's got a dog, but they don't want to pick up the aftermath in the backyard, right? The number two. So this company comes out and they basically take care of that for them. So we're going to do some kind of very funny videos where we're have a studio space. We're going to have one of the franchisees, one of the franchisee owners, they're kind of talking about different things. So we have a structured script, but this is a perfect scenario where we're going to ad lib a little bit or encourage him to ad lib a little bit so we can get some more creativity and more natural responses to kind of the overall message that we're going to have.
Amazing. So that's a really great explanation for things because I've seen a lot of people talk about you should script, you should. Now, the work that you do is kind of different to what I'm talking about. But in general, I'm speaking that you should say script, you should be not scripting different things. So, but if I am talking about the general video on YouTube for a human being there, not that type of thing. But you need to kind of have some kind of guidelines, I guess, at least like this is very important. So you would know the pain points of the clients, which is the very important thing that we're talking here about people who are actually going to watch the video. It will hit the points of their pains or the problems actually to give them the kind of solution or resolution that they are looking for, which is like eventually it's the goal of the video in general, the goal of any kind type of content that's put out there. So now for yourself, now your focus, you mentioned that you build this type of business as a solopreneur and you grow it and you have a team now. Your focus, you mentioned, I think you mentioned sales and marketing. What you are doing now is impacting the business in a way that is driving it forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So now my primary role is sales and marketing. As much as I love production, I don't do the day-to-day tactical stuff. I'm kind of at the, you know, at the level where I kind of check in with the team. I'll go to shoots, you know, for a little bit and pop in, but my primary focus is sales and marketing. So what I do is really, you know, things like this is a perfect example. So really podcasting, we do paid ads, we do organic social content where I'm on camera, you know, talking and stuff of that nature. You know, Facebook and Google, SEO, citation sites, you know, we're Austin's highest rated company with over 140 five-star reviews. So that really helps from a credibility standpoint and our SEO. So really that kind of side of it on the marketing. And then once customers are ready and they want to talk, you know, like, hey, I think I have a project in mind. I found you online. I've learned about you through, you know, these sources, love to chat a little bit more. The conversation is typically with me or my producer. And that's where I essentially kind of really understand the scope of what they're trying to look at. I try to outline some general creative on like, what is going to be the best type of videos? And then what are going to be, what's the overarching story? So one thing that I do differently, I think, than a lot of other video companies that I was mentioning earlier, is they'll kind of be like, yes, it's a two camera setup for 3 hours of filming, 2 hours of editing. And they look at it like that. I'm looking at it from the perspective of what is the goal of this video? Who are we reaching? How does this fit into an overall campaign? Tell me about your marketing. What's working? What's not working? What does your sales process look like? So we can take really a overarching view of what that funnel looks like, what the customer experience is like. So we're creating the right video at the right place for the right customer. So oftentimes customers will just want to do one video and that can be very impactful in some situations, but usually doing multiple videos in a series of your funnel is going to be more effective in your overall goals, because the goal of video is to educate, to increase trust and increase the speed of trust so that you get that conversion, whether it's a phone call, email, or, you know, form filled out, or you get that person, you know, to click the buy button when it comes to purchasing a product. It's really educating and building that, increasing the speed of trust. And that can be done with a variety of different videos in a variety of different way based on the overall marketing strategy that the client has.
Yeah. So what you're talking about, the way you do work, when I would say like an umbrella type of work, like you dive into multiple things, not just the point is to actually do the video and go home.
Yeah.
You're working with them on a wider scale to know multiple things on different levels. to give the right, let's say, message to the clients of the clients. So that's very important.
Yeah.
So this is a deep work and takes, I know for a fact it would take a lot of time, more than I guess 3 hours of shooting and 2 hours of editing in general.
Yeah, I think people really underestimate. It's funny because I usually joke with clients and say, like, you know, we spend about, you know, 2 to 3 hours with you just on the planning side. And then we have about three times that amount on the back end. And then it's like eight hours of filming. And that's just what you see. It's like this raw footage. And then it's like, you know, 40 plus hours of editing. And then we have our own internal process to review, refine the video. And then it goes to the client. And then it's time for them to watch, review, revise, everything like that. And all of that time, all that effort, all that work comes down to like a 2 minute video, 2 minutes, you know, it's kind of crazy. But yeah, there's a lot of time. But the overarching strategy with marketing is, you know, if you say we get most of our leads through organic social media, that's going to be a totally different strategy than we do pay-per-click ads and retargeting and display ads. That's going to be a completely different strategy. So I really try to understand what's working and then what types of videos will be the most effective to getting you the results that you need to increase that conversion.
It's great to have this kind of perfection, I guess, maybe, yeah. But it's good to shoot for like 10 hours to get the 1 minute video.
Yeah. 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 I always say, like, once you do it once, well, you don't have to do it again. We've had one client, was one of my first clients in Austin, the Austin Shoe Hospital. They've had this video for 13 years. And if I showed it to you, you would not believe that it was made 13 years ago. And they still use it today. And it's incredibly, incredibly powerful. And yeah, I mean, anyone can pick up their phone and create a 2 minute video and talk for 2 minutes and say, that's a video. But what we do is we're creating like compelling stories that, you know, are evergreen, last for a long time, and something that a brand or a business can really be proud of to say, you know, this is a story about us and how we help change people's lives through our product and service.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So what is the worst advice that you have received in your, throughout your business or career?
Well, from just a sheer business person in the video world, the worst advice that I got, which I never took, was buy a fancier camera. I think a lot of, you know, videographers or freelancers, they go in these groups and they think that, like, if I buy a more expensive camera and spend the money, the phone's going to ring off the hook. And that's just not the case. Typically, it takes sales, marketing, strategy, you know, the things that I talked about earlier, that's my primary role now, to be able to have the opportunity to work with clients. I'm fortunate enough now that we have all the fancy gear and fancy equipment that we could, you know, talk about, but that's only one component. That's only one piece of the puzzle, because you could have a great piece of gear, but if you don't know how to use it, you don't know how to tell a compelling story, you're just going to get a nice looking image. And that's it. What we're doing is we're creating stories that are designed to connect with the user and increase conversion, so our customers can grow in their business, not just to create a pretty video for a pretty video's sake.
Definitely, that's very important. It's not about the equipment you shoot, it's the way. It's not about the car, it's about the driver.
Yeah.
I guess that they would see.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Really well said. Yes.
Yeah. So do you think that's something very important we missed talking about, you can add here as a takeaway or the final tip to businesses and also to what you're doing with your business as a video also, and for videos creators, let's say?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're a creator and you're looking to kind of build your team a little bit more and kind of get to where, you know, I'm at right now, the best thing I can say is, you know, just take it one step at a time. You know, I think, you know, for me, I was completely self-funded. So just one step at a time, what is the one area or the one thing that will increase your time that will help you focus on the business instead of in the business? You know, for me, it was getting an editor. For you, it might be a VA or an assistant, or it might be a producer or a full-time filmmaker, you know, in the video world, that is. But whatever your business is, you know, finding that initial person to help minimize the work that you do in the business so you can focus on the business is one of the best things that you can definitely do.
Awesome. Well, Mark, where can people learn more about you and what you do, and so they can learn more about it and reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is mosaicmediafilms.com. That's MOSAIC mosaicmediafilms.com. And I have a page on our website, mosaicmediafilms.com/resources, where there's a lot of great stuff that you can get on video. So if you're a business thinking about video, but you don't know where to start, there's guides, there's quizzes, there's video content. It's all free. You don't have to put your email in. And that's a good way to get started, whether you're thinking about video as an internal team or you think about hiring a video production company. That's a great resource for information and content.
The resource being there free without having to opt in, that's something that's very rare these days on the internet.
Yeah, it's like it's so exhausting sometimes just to put your email in to get a PDF guide. It's like, don't even worry about it. Just click on the button and it's yours. Hopefully it helps you. Awesome. Yeah, if it's helpful, you know where to find me. If not, then there's someone else that can, you know, hopefully help you with what you need.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Mark, for being with me on this episode of the podcast. Yeah. Really insightful things about you, your story, your business, and how you approach video production. Awesome. So thank you very much for joining me for this
one. Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It was great.